Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. I am Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean on UK Health. Welcome to this Monday's show. Nice to have you all back. As you know, we always start with a news piece, just kind of in sync and in the flow with our guest. We've got a really exciting guest I'm really keen to introduce you to shortly. But I just want to start with this. So on February the 6th, which is not that long ago, a House of Lords committee report published... Now, it warned that the government needs to put its foot on the accelerator if the UK is to transition to electric vehicles, EVs, in time to meet net zero targets. Now, in the report, and it's the EV strategy, rapid recharge needed. The Environment and Climate Change Committee has warned that a combination of higher purchase costs, insufficient charging infrastructure, and mixed messaging risks people not adopting to electric vehicles. Now, the government must do more was the tagline. Now, the inquiry was launched originally in August 2023 to identify the main obstacles and barriers to a successful and equitable transition to the government's EV target for passenger vehicles and to make clear and targeted recommendations for change to meet that target, which seems obvious. Now, the committee examined a wide range of areas, the government's overall approach to and the messaging around the transition, the electric vehicles market and acquiring an electric vehicle, the end of life disposable of electric vehicles, national and regional infrastructure and charging issues and international perspectives and comparisons. Now, during the inquiry, the committee heard from a range of witnesses, including members of the public, major car manufacturers, charge point operators, local authorities, distribution network operators, car dealerships, and of course, the government ministers. Now, Baroness Parminter, who was the chair of the inquiry, she said in a quote, "So the evidence we've received shows the government must do more to get people to adopt EVs. If it fails to heed our recommendations, the UK won't reap the significant benefits of better air quality and will lag in the slow lane for tackling climate change." So it went on. How do we boost consumer confidence? Now, while welcoming the ZEV mandate on manufacturers, recent investment in the UK car manufacturing industry and initial support for local authorities, including the Local Electric Vehicle Infrastructure, which is the LEVI, the LEVI, perhaps it's called, fund. And that's the report. It calls on the government to act much faster. Now, this includes tackling the disparity in upfront costs between electric vehicles and petrol and diesel cars and looking at targeted grants to incentivize the purchase of a new electric vehicle. So after taking evidence from a wide range of witnesses and hearing from young people from across the UK, through its unique youth engagement programme, the committee is also calling on the government to instill confidence in consumers. Now, it wants the government to explore options to incentivize secondhand electric car sales, which is good, including developing a battery health standard, plus a reform of road tax to give a clear steer on future motoring costs. Now, this is interesting. The 20% VAT rate applied to public charging should be reduced to 5%. So that would be good, in line with domestic electricity. And a positive vision of the EV transition should be communicated to consumers, promoting comprehensive, clear and accurate information. The committee wants the government to accelerate the rollout of the UK's charging infrastructure by extending local electric vehicle infrastructure, again, that LEVI funding for another 3 years. It wants the government to consult on offering a right to charge for tenants and leaseholders in multi-occupancy buildings, flats and things like that, and is calling for a review of planning regulation to ensure that the rollout of EV infrastructure is not unduly delayed by outdated regulation. The government should also consult on mandating workplaces with designated car parking spaces, which of course is an issue for many of us, to install EV charge points. And the committee said, this is what they said, industry should be supported by further enhancing UK manufacturing and battery innovation and accelerating investment in UK vehicle and battery recycling facilities. So that's the piece. That's the news. That's where we are currently. But that very, very nicely brings me to today's guest. Well, this gentleman is called Dan Caesar, but I just want to read you out a bit of information about him. We've known each other a long time, but this was really fun when I got this. After more than two decades of advocating for cleaner technologies, Dan has driven electric since 2015 and has led the Fully Charged show for 7 years. You may be familiar with Fully Charged show. It's Robert Llewellyn, who's the main presenter, and I know it's turned into a big series now. Dan is a passionate promoter of electric vehicles of all shapes and sizes and home energy tech also. Dan has played a transformational role in developing the Fully Charged show on YouTube, pioneering its exhibition program, expanding its everything electric offering, and starting the Stop Burning Stuff movement. He's passionate about products that can tackle air pollution and climate breakdown. Dan is practical. That is, in fact, better tech than will inspire the most change. Dan, welcome to Lean Into Clean. It's lovely to have you here.
Hello, Jarvis. It's fantastic to be here.
Ah, great, great. So that's, look, we've known each other for a while, but is there anything missing from that bio that you think should have been said or could be said for our listeners to get to know you a bit better?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think from my perspective, I got into the energy industry 21 years ago, and I actually started work, believe it or not, for the gas safety watchdog, Corgi.
Oh, did you?
Right. I guess I was a kind of part communications expert, part entrepreneur, really. And I joined that organization, and it suddenly dawned on me the importance of the air we breathe. I was regularly liaising with families who actually lost loved ones to carbon monoxide poisoning. And a young man, that really kind of woke me up to how consequential the air we breathe is, how important our environment is. And very quickly, although our mandate was to look after gas safety, so gas boilers was a big part of that mix, I kind of fell in love with technologies that didn't involve combustion at all, like heat pumps and solar. And that's how I kind of found my way into the industry. And I've been here promoting cleaner technologies for 21 years now, and it's starting to get real traction.
Great. Well, significantly, there's been a lot of news about heat pumps on the radio today. We'll talk about those shortly. Thank you for the introduction. Let's just talk about Fully Charged for a minute. So for those that don't know what Fully Charged is, it originated as a EV YouTube show, didn't it? One of the early adopters, actually, of regular content on YouTube. And then it evolved into an exhibition show, and you are now absolute leaders in that field globally, I understand. But just give me a bit of background on Fully Charged. For those that don't know what it is, what is it from your perspective?
Well, now it's a YouTube exhibition crossover, the only one of its type in the world, I think. And Stop Burning Stuff is kind of our mantra, if you like. You know, let's move past combustion technologies to technologies that don't require combustion at all. But really, we're very much in the same mindset of accelerating cleaner energy and transport, accelerating the energy transition that I guess has been the kind of the standard for Tesla and many other companies in that space for a long period of time. But funnily enough, it started off as a YouTube channel fronted by its founder, Robert Llewellyn, who some people might know as being Crichton in Red Dwarf. Some people might know him as being the host of Scrap Heap Challenge. And he was always fascinated by, you know, do we really need to burn stuff, basically, to power and heat our homes and buildings? Do we need to burn stuff to to power our vehicles. He was fascinated by that. And so really from his perspective, he is a great presenter, a really good communicator, and he decided back in 2010 to start a YouTube channel where there weren't many electric cars, Jarvis, at that point. So
No, there weren't. There
how he did
weren't.
that.
You
How he
could
did
count them
that.
on two hands, couldn't you, then?
Yeah, you could, I think. But he was very aware of this energy transition and what it would mean. And probably from his perspective and mine, it's been a long kind of 14 years since that point, but there is a big movement now away from a combustion. And so from our perspective, anything we can do to educate and entertain people, help them on that journey to saying, yeah, I want to get an electric bike, or just get a bike, or use public transport, or maybe get an electric car or heat pumps or solar or whatever. We're really passionate about helping people into those technologies.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And you know what? You absolutely are pioneers and thought leaders and disruptors, if you like, in an industry. Because when you guys were on it, the government hadn't even made any announcements about switching to EVs. And I know we've had a big turnaround on that. But we won't get into too much politics. But although we do need legislation and we do need the incentives in order to drive people, but we'll come to that. We'll come to that because that I'm sure you've got lots to say on that. I would like to add that Dan is also a regular feature writer with us in the My Green Pod magazine. My Green Pod has been a kind of media partner sponsor of the Fully Charged shows. And we always have access to tickets. So, do connect with us. I'm sure Dan will also share with us how we can get tickets for this year's array of shows. So let's just talk quickly about the Fully Charged shows, because that's when you came on board with Fully Charged, wasn't it? To kind of work on the exhibition side of things, if you like the real part, not the reality part, which is on YouTube.
It was kind of happenstance, really. I met Robert. I was launching something called Accelerating Clean Technologies. So, I mean, absolutely in line with what we're talking about today. And I hired Robert to intro that small event that I was launching this new concept at. And we got on really well. And, we were both sort of speaking the same language. And I just said to him, well, you've got this great YouTube channel. I think he had about 100,000 subscribers at that point. And
Yeah.
been doing it for 6 years, and I assumed there was a big machine behind that. And he said, "No, it's only me, plus one and a half other people, really." So I was shocked by that, because what he was producing was kind of television standard.
Yeah.
It was quite exceptional. And at that point, I said, "Well, I'm as passionate about this as you are, but I'm, I guess, I suppose, begrudgingly a business person, and I think I could help you, make it sort of self-funding and make it bigger." And then I started helping him for free, as often these things begin. I had other jobs that I was doing, other consultancy I was doing. And after a while, Jarvis, I said, I think I was never too modest. I was never backward in coming forward. I said, I think, if I was inside the business, I could really help you grow it. But I need to have a salary. So what I suggest is let's do an exhibition. And that's when we announced our first exhibition in 2017. We ran it at Silverstone, very counterintuitive place to run a
I was there. In
vegan
fact, I
energy
was on one of
event.
the I was on the vegan panel, I think, that year.
It was just an enormous
Yeah,
success
massive.
from the word go. And now we have multiple events around the world. So it was kind of accidental in a way, but it's been the best accident possible, because a lot of people were going to YouTube and they were interested in all these technologies. How do I go about getting an electric car? Do I change my energy tariff? What do I do about a charge point? Can I get these other technologies? But the events really put the seal on it, because they can actually come and test drive the cars. They can talk to experts. They can touch the technologies. They can, in a non-confrontational atmosphere where there's lots of independent people there, give them, good advice. And it's turned out to be the most incredible combination effect. People do their desktop research on YouTube, and then the most serious of them come to the shows to actually investigate and then invest in the technologies.
And you're absolutely right. And hats off to you for creating that show, because it was, well, it was firstly completely unique. I've been around in this game for a long time, driving an electric as long as you, since 2015, and in fact, longer than that. And there was nothing. There was nothing. You kind of had to do your own research. You had to really, just kind of throw some stuff into the wind and hope that some of it flew. And it was all a bit edgy, wasn't it, in the early days? I remember we had one of this Mark II Nissan Leafs, And I remember on my daughter's 5th birthday, and bearing in mind she's 15 now, 16, should I say, sorry, Sophia. We broke down. Well, we didn't break down. We ran out of charge at the service station and tried to charge up with one of the Ecotricity charging points, which is kind of the only highway back in the day. It wasn't working. So we ended up on the back of a AA breakdown truck and got towed home. She thought it was an amazing, best birthday ever. For me, it was a flipping nightmare because we didn't get home enough birthday tea and a cake. But it's this is so. But haven't things come on, mate, since then? Oh wow! So we don't need to talk about the negativity. But where are we today with EVs? What are the stats? What are the numbers? How many shows are you doing? Here's your moment, just to give it, give it a big old bit of promotion from the heart.
Well, we're doing okay, and I genuinely think we are moving the needle a little bit. I mean, certainly, I often refer to Robert Llewellyn as the person who's probably sold more electric vehicles and Tesla Powerwalls and solar panels, etc., than anyone other than Elon Musk, I think, because he has consistently pushed it to a larger and larger audience. So we have a million subscribers on our main YouTube channel, The Fully Charged Show. We have just under 100,000 on our second YouTube channel, the Everything Electric Show, which is much more about home energy. Because that was the background, we've really pushed hard into that space over the last few years.
Well, it's growing significantly, or it's got the opportunity to grow
It's huge. We've
significantly,
got six exhibitions around the world at the moment. We're looking if we can get up to 10 or 12 in the next few years. But the next one we've got to go.
What countries are you at?
We do three in the UK. So the country of Yorkshire, Jarvis, I know that will be close to your
Yeah,
heart.
we love the Harrogate. When you came to Yorkshire, it's like, yes, this is brilliant.
The country of London, which could be described as another country, and then the country of the home counties as well. So we have home counties in October, Yorkshire in May, and the next one up is London at the Exeter Centre. And that's a big, very grown-up moment for us to do. Our shows are pretty big anyway, but to do it at XL London is pretty significant, and that's part of our strategy to mainstream it. So the show started off life as Fully Charged Live. We've done 12 of those. We've just changed the name to Everything Electric. We just did the first of those, so the 13th show in total in Sydney, and we're just about to do the 14th show in London, and then we also do shows in Canada, in Europe, and we have a few other places on the list as well. I mean, one of the interesting things I think is, and again, it's slight unintended consequences, is that test drives are incredibly important to the shift to electric vehicles. Test drives have always been something that has happened, but typically people go, well, I like BMW, no advert. I'm going to buy another BMW, therefore I'll just go take it for a quick spin. Or maybe they don't even need to. Now you've got a totally different scenario where people are actually looking maybe different brands they'd never heard of before. Like who would I had, because I'm in industry, but who had heard BYD 3 years ago, for example, and BYD are making a big noise now. So people are going needing test drives, but also they're moving from combustion to electric. So again, they need test drives. So we've just run over 5,000 test drives in Sydney. We'll probably run over 10,000 in London. We'll probably run about 50,000 test drives around the world this year. And putting bums in seats is the biggest conversion tool you can really. It really makes people go, oh, that's not only is that a bit easier than I thought, but actually it's a lot better than I thought. And before you know it, people are saying, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for my first electric vehicle. So that's been a big, big shift that we've helped to facilitate.
Yeah, it's the sampling, isn't it? Making it easy. I mean, I remember even me, and I'm used to electric cars. I went from a Nissan Leaf to a Tesla because the infrastructure was just so fantastic for all the driving that I was doing. And I had a Model X at the time, and then I had a Model S, and then I went back to an X. And then I tested a Model Y at one of your shows, and I was like, this is great. So I just swapped for a Model Y. So I can absolutely buy into your philosophy and how it works. Dan, we need to cut to a commercial break. Stay there. Anybody that wants to find out about Fully Charged, it's fullycharged.live, so you can get booked into shows and get tickets and stuff. But we're just going to cut to a commercial break. Dan, we'll be back in a second.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith on UK Health Radio. I'm here with Dan Caesar, who is one of the original founders, along with Robert Llewellyn, of the Fully Charged show. Dan, funnily enough, I just clicked onto your website because I just wanted to help because it's always evolving. I always find it really interesting, and the way you've done it is brilliant. And I saw there's a little shot in the video of me being interviewed by somebody. So that was quite cool. Nice to see. But anybody that is interested in EVs and really, really wants to get super clued up, fullycharge.show and fullycharge.live are the places to go. And there's the YouTube channel as well with loads of really amazing information there, not just about cars, about additions or alternatives to fossil fuel driven heating for the home. So Dan, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I know on the radio today there's been an article about, well, I say article, there's been various news discussions about heat pumps. So as far as I could tell, the big challenge for heat pumps is, are they suitable for every home, number one? Number two, we don't have enough infrastructure, i.e. even people, to be able to get the amount of heat pumps into the residences that we need in the time that we need it, if we're going to meet our net zero by 2030 or even 2050 targets, right? Have I understood that correctly?
Yeah, that's a good summation. I mean, the fact we live in a country where a couple of old YouTubers, Robert and I, know more about energy and transport than the government is slightly concerning, I would say. But
I think on the contrary, mate, I think
we
this
do
is the
understand
new
this. We
way.
do understand this, area well. We're independent. We're not wedded to one particular technology or another, which, if it sounds like a politician's cop out, isn't. We'll tell you what's winning and we'll tell you what's going to win. There
Yeah.
was always a thing amongst politicians that they wouldn't pick winners and they would be technologically agnostic. And the reality is now that that was probably appropriate 10 years ago, but now we can see the technologies that are winning and are going to win. It's quite clear, and heat pumps is most definitely on that list. And the reason for that is because they are 300, 400% efficient. So compared to a gas boiler, which might be 90% efficient, I think you can see why that would be quite as attractive as it is. I'm not going to get into how they work. They are literally magic. They move energy, they compress energy rather than create energy, but they're pretty incredible. And because of that efficiency of 300, 400%, what technical people call the coefficient of performance, they are the technology that we should want in as many buildings as we possibly can get them into. They are usable and effective in far more buildings than the Daily Mail would have you believe.
Oh, good. Good to know.
They are actually much more versatile, much more flexible. The UK has got itself in a slightly strange situation in that in Europe, they are flying off the shelves. Literally, and not literally, but metaphorically at least. Even in places like Scandinavia, where it's super cold, their comfort in their homes and their bills are really progressive. And so, from our perspective, the UK unfortunately has been quite slow to the mark. That is changing. There is now some genuine incentives. If you look up the boiler upgrade scheme, you can get quite a significant amount off your installation, which can cover most of the cost. So heat pumps are
Seven and a half grand I heard this
seven
morning.
and a half grand, which should cover the bulk, if not all of it. People like Octopus, for example, and OVO are really getting into that now. You can go to them and you can switch out your boiler for a heat pump, and they'll be able to give you advice of whether it's right for your property or whether you might insulate a little bit more before installing, etc., etc. But to your point, what's interesting is that it's been very much framed as gas boilers versus air source heat pumps. The real way it should be framed is gas versus electrification. And heat pumps, air source heat pumps, will probably amount to the lion's share of the electrification of heat market, but they're also ground source heat pumps. There are things called zero emission boilers there, which are kind of like a modern take on the night storage system, if you like, a modern smart take on those. There are things like infrared heating, for example. So there's lots of different electrification options, plus things like better using our water storage, our water tanks, for example. A lot of us have put those out actually, but they're now turning out to be a good thermal store. So there's lots of different opportunities in that respect. So I expect the heat pump market to grow and grow and grow very, very quickly in the UK. And to your point, are there enough people to do it? No. However, it's not a cliff edge. It doesn't happen all at once. What I say to every youngster I meet is if you're worried about AI taking your job, AI will not be able to install a heat pump.
good point.
You want a job for life, or certainly for the majority of life, a well-paid, clean job. Installing electrification of heat technologies is the thing I would recommend to any young people who are vaguely practical in nature.
I'm pretty sure at your last show, I was listening to an interview by some of the heat pump experts that you have on panels there, because the panels are just, I mean, it's absolute gold dust, the information you get from your panels. Brilliant people, me included, might add. But just being silly. But one of them was, the stat was that they needed 20,000 installers just to meet the targets for that particular year. And these are all people that needed training up. And I thought, wow. Wow, there's a huge job opportunity there. So thank you for bringing that to the listeners' attention.
There is. I mean, it's one of the first things. If I was in charge for a day, it's one of the first things I would do. I'd make it like a sort of a national, a national effort, really, to make sure we've got enough people trained up to do that. It could be something of a bottleneck, but I prefer always to be glass half full and say this is an opportunity, right?
Absolutely,
For
absolutely.
lots of youngsters to get good jobs, but also lots of people to retrain. I mean, putting a boiler on a wall is harder. For a number of different reasons, actually fitting heat pumps and other technologies of that nature is a little bit easier. And lots of people could retrain into that space as well. So I think it's a huge opportunity. And if I was running for government, and if I had a policy pamphlet, that would be amongst the things that this isn't a threat. This is an opportunity. In fact, being outside of this shift is a threat, as opposed to being inside it.
Well, hashtag vote for Dan. Hashtag vote for Dan. So we hope you're going to step up. We will all vote for you. I'm going to just stop there for a minute. Thank you for that explanation. We will talk about electrification of heating systems at home, because I do think it's fascinating. We know some of the biggest issues when it comes to our, if you like, our lack of connection when it comes to carbon emissions is our homes. It's not so much the cars, it's the insulation of our homes, first of all, that's letting out lots of heat. And then secondly, the electrification of the kit that we use. But before we do that, I always ask my guests to send me a couple of songs that are soundtracks to this thing that we are calling a climate crisis, which many of us know is getting worse and worse and worse. And you've chosen a couple of songs. We're going to go with your first choice. What song have you chosen? And then after we've played it, you can tell me why you chose it then, please.
Well, I've chosen a Red Hot Chili Peppers song that I like a lot, which really kind of reminds me of the climate crisis.
Great. And the song is called
Black Summer.
Black Summer. This is Black Summer by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, such a great record. I love the Chili Peppers. Thank you for choosing that song. Why did you choose that song, Dan?
There's a line in it which says, "My Greta weighs a ton," which I just absolutely love that. I mean, I think from my perspective, it's kind of interesting to do this job really, because we've become quite synonymous with electric cars, and we've had some success in that area. But we're about much, much more than that. We're about electric vehicles of all shapes and sizes. So we're really keen on public transport and electric bikes and electric planes and trains, and we're really keen on all the home energy stuff, as we've discussed. We've been doing stuff at our live shows called Zero Carbon Kitchen, which is plant-based kitchen powered by plant-based food powered by a vehicle to load on an electric car. And from my perspective, we're doing all that we can. But even so, the sort of the guilt, really, I think, of my generation, really, in terms of the kind of the energy we've used, remains there all the time. So I know Greta Thunberg is a polarizing character, but personally, I'm in admiration for what she's done to raise this the environmental crisis in people's consciousness. I think that's the whole point. If she's been successful, maybe you don't like her because she's been so successful. But for me personally, she's been an inspirational figure. So my Greta weighs a ton. I want to get that on a sustainably printed t-shirt at some point because I think I always feel that in the back of my mind, really.
Yeah, you know what? I love that. And I'm not sure if you're aware, Dan, but at the end of every single show, I recorded a single with Greta Thunberg. She's not on it, she's in the video, to raise money for Fridays for Future's Mapper, which is the most affected people in areas. So we always play that at the end of the song. So there's a nice, sorry, the end of the show. So there's a nice segue there. But look, I mean, look, I can absolutely resonate with you about Greta because, I often look at her and I look at my daughter and I just see that the same energy in her mission. And, you can see it in her eyes. She's the real deal, and that's I think that's why she's made so much, been able to make so much noise and create so many movements. But let's talk about your family, Dan. So you've got a family, you've got children, you're privy to a lot of information that most people don't get all the time, and if they are getting it, they might not be connecting with it and joining the dots. But you are, I know you are, because you and I have chatted about the intensity of the jobs that we do and the importance of it, and you've just touched upon it there. What do you say to your kids about stuff when it comes to the knowledge that you have and the lifestyle shifts that you're trying to get people to make? How do you bring it to the dinner table?
I think they're in that lifestyle to a degree, but then it's when they meet other families and other children, they probably realize that we're a little bit different as a family. It's interesting, they're an interesting age. My son is almost 12. My daughter is 9. Jo, my wife, she works, she's a very key part of what we do in the business as well. So it's always around the kids. I have a garden office here at home. They're always surrounded by it. We had Charlie, my son, in doing some data entry the other day, aged 11. He wasn't prepared.
Nice.
So they're always around it. They're always kind of aware of it. They're very sensitive, kind children. But they've kind of grown up. All they know is electric cars, for example,
Yeah.
which is great, but at the same time it's strange because they just look at it, they look at a car that's got a lot coming out of its exhaust pipe with sort of horror, really. they can't
Yeah, same as my kids.
they
My
can't
kids is like,
understand that
yeah,
at all.
yeah.
They can't understand why we've made those choices and why it's so difficult to wean people off that onto electric vehicles. I mean, I think from their perspective, we try and eat a lot less meat, but we're not perfect in that respect. It's hard, isn't it, when you're a family.
Of
So
course it is. Yeah.
I think from my perspective, we're doing the best we can. I think our kids have really appreciate that. I guess there is a generational divide between potentially my age group and our parents.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of political dividing lines, let's say, in recent years. And often we find ourselves in a kind of oppositional role to our parents. I don't want to be in the same situation with my kids in 20 to 30 years' time. And that might be naive. There might be dividing lines that come up that I haven't even thought of now. And I'm, on the wrong side of those. But for me, being progressive and, being responsible, these are all really, really important things. My daughter Eden is a real kind of nature lover, as you might expect from her name. But she's called Eden because Joe and I got married at the Eden Project years
Oh,
ago.
did you? Oh, love it there.
When we
Yeah.
were promoting renewables back then, we got married there, so she's our project, if you like. And she's very, very. She loves nature, loves animals, all the rest of it. But
Yeah,
as I
nice.
say, it's difficult. It's when they meet other families who are, perhaps less aware of this.
Yeah.
It's like, why do they do this? Why do they do that? But also, there's a little bit of trying to protect their childhood, right, Jarvis? Like,
Of
I
course,
told
of
them all
course.
the things I knew. They probably have nightmares, so I do try and
Yeah.
bring them along on the journey. And as they get older, they will be exposed just by nature, right, to the
Yeah.
more and more serious consequences of our actions that we're going to face over the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, I'm going to have to stop you there. It's really heartwarming to hear that. And I absolutely empathize. We're going to cut to another commercial break. Stick around, you guys, because I'm going to ask Dan about his favorite electric cars in a minute. So let's see what he has to say. This cut to a commercial break. We'll see you in a sec.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. We're here with Dan Caesar. We're just talking about his family actually, and just how he's how he kind of shares and discusses in conversation with his children and wife about some of the issues that we know are prevailing and getting worse. What are we going to do to turn things around? Well, we all know we've got to change habits and change some lifestyle, have some lifestyle shifts, I suppose. And one of the areas that Dan is an absolute expert in is electrification of not only cars, but vehicles and also heating devices in homes. We talked about heat pumps, we talked about cars, but I'm really interested to know, Dan, those of us that have been driving EVs for a long time, we know that, they're amazing cars. They're absolutely amazing. Do you have any favorites? Do you have anything that really stands out for you? I mean, and what are you driving at the moment? Do you get a chance to drive more or less anything? Are they throwing cars at you left, right, and center?
I do really like electric cars. I mean, the reality is neither Robert and I are petrol heads. That was the irony of the whole thing. We're not
good to know.
we're not car guys. When that's not our kind of. The whole thing is using electric cars to get people's eyes on the other technologies, because people are so emotional about cars.
Yeah.
And they are, they're a marketer's dream, right? They're cool and they're sexy. Yeah. They get people's attention. So we use that, I guess, very deliberately to get people to look at all of these technologies and shifting their habits. That said, is a bit like being in a sweet shop doing what I do. I do get to see all the cars often much earlier than other people do. I do get to try a fair few of them, but I'm not one of the car presenters. You're more likely to see me on screen talking about a heat pump.
Yeah.
But I have, I've been, very privileged to drive a few different cars over the years. We have I have a Tesla Model 3 and Joe has an MG4. So that's what we have had a Nissan Leaf. We've had a Hyundai Kona, and my first electric car actually back in 2015 was a BMW i3, which I loved. It was absolutely fantastic. And that, if I had an advice of a secondhand car to get, I'd strongly recommend the BMW i3. Is still an amazing little car to drive. I'm a big fan of the Tesla Model 3. You mentioned the charging network earlier.
Yes,
fantastic,
dreamlike.
At the same time, I really like Polestar's cars. What Polestar are doing. Quite interested in the new BYD cars that are coming to the UK, the BYD Seal in particular.
That's a Chinese or Korean?
Yeah, so yeah, Build Your Dreams is the acronym.
Oh, is that what it stands for? Build Your Dreams.
But nice. They are, as of Q4, the last quarter of last year, they are the biggest seller of battery electric vehicles in the world. They've just overtaken Tesla on quarter by quarter basis.
Have they really?
They're going to have they're going to have a huge impact between them and Tesla. BYD and Tesla probably manufacture about 5 million pure electric cars this year.
Wow.
Which is considerable. So they're number one and two at the moment, and they're going to be tough to shift from that position. We also get to see cars like the Fisker Ocean, which is very, very cool. That's going to be our London show.
I remember the original Fisker car that came, Fisker Karma. Right. That was a sexy looking thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's a good car. Probably one of my favorite days at work was driving from where was I? I was Venice Beach in LA, and I drove up the Pacific Coast Highway in a Rivian R1T pickup truck.
Ooh.
Rivian, they're very cool. Every time I go to America, I'm very much think cars should be smaller as well, but every time I go to America or Australia, I suddenly want to buy a pickup truck. I don't know what it is.
So many of them out there, isn't there? Isn't it the biggest selling
vehicle? I live in the UK, so that's not going to happen. But now I get to see some great stuff. I've driven electrified three-wheel trikes, electric bikes. I mean, I It is a really interesting space. I think the main takeaway really is there are now hundreds of them. When I first started doing it, there was like 10, and a lot of them are really, really, really good. Like a lot better than combustion engine vehicles. I know there's probably some car people sort of screaming if I say that out loud, but it's true. They really are just next level. They're
I
just better.
agree.
And so yeah, it's an interesting space. But yeah, every show I go to now, we see new stuff that's come from Korea, from Asia, from America, from some of the European manufacturers. It's really, really interesting. And as I say, test drives have become a massive part of what we do. People get that electric vehicle test drive smile. They come back beaming. They suddenly realize, oh, this is quite good actually. And maybe the fact that it doesn't make noise is not the end of the world. Also, that little bit of extra acceleration you get off the line. We don't want people to speed, but it is quite nice to be able to get away quickly and do that sort of thing. So yeah, I have to say, for me, it's a real no-brainer. But until people try it, I understand initial skepticism. But I would say, if you haven't yet tried the one, do it, and maybe do it at one of our shows, because you can do a few cars in one go, which is a big time saver.
Well, that's why you're here, Dan, because I want to get more people to know about the show. So let's just talk about the shows for a bit and what's coming up. So I've got some dates here. We've got the London one in March, the 28th to the 30th. Where's that going to be?
That's at XL, so
That's at XL.
the
Great.
biggest
And then
venue in the UK. Yeah.
we've got the Yorkshire one in Harrogate at Harrogate Showground. That's in May,
Yeah.
24th to 26th.
Can't wait for that one. That's a great show.
It's a lovely show, actually. It's a very different vibe to your next one, which is in October. Is it in October this year, the Farnborough one?
October, Farnborough. Yeah,
Yes, quite.
it's the fourth time we've done it there. Normally, it's in the spring, but we put London into the.
Ah, that's what you've done. That's what you've
Barbara's
done.
gone back to later in the year. So yeah, three in the UK, and yeah, they're all great in their own different ways. What was interesting with London is, obviously, you can imagine lots of people who live in London do have money, obviously, and have big houses, but more often than not, people in London have a bit less space to play with, actually. So it presents some different challenges as to off-street parking, or maybe they need a smaller heat pump, etc., etc. So you get a slightly different crowd. In Harrogate, you get some agricultural electric vehicles there, for example, and at Farnborough, which is alongside, not part of, but alongside the airport, you do actually get things like electric planes there as well. That shows we've had lots of electric bikes and boats. In Australia, we have a lot of electric utes and pickup trucks. So every show is a little bit different, actually, which is always really fascinating to see.
Nice. And I can absolutely, I've been to, I think, nearly every show apart from one when we were abroad one year. It's amazing because not only do you get to go and test drive nearly every electric vehicle, certainly the big manufacturers that you can think of, they're all there, and it's just amazing. You just got kind of queue up and book, and within minutes you're in a car. So do that. But there's also electric scooters and bikes, and so many people you can talk to. And then you've got all this innovation and around the heating and alternatives for central heating for people's homes. So they are brilliant, brilliant shows. So just to remind you need to go to fullycharge.live. You'll see all of the shows listed there. Dan, what's the process for tickets? Is it do you have to buy tickets? Is it
You do buy tickets via that website that you've just mentioned. You'd be amazed how many people come for 2 days, amazed, or sometimes 3 days, because there's so much to see and do there.
There is.
We have never, ever, ever had of someone say the ticket price is too much. We've always had people say, actually, it should be more. We're not going to do that. In fact, we may even lower our prices because there's a recession going on in the UK. But it's a really high value day, and I would say test drives are big. We have the energy advice zone, the zero carbon kitchen, and so much more. But I would still say probably the heart of it is those live stage sessions.
I'd
Those
say
are live.
the live shows and also the kids area, which My Green Pod sponsored last year. The kids area is always brilliant. We obviously spend a lot of time there because we were involved in it, but it's great for the kids. My kids love it. And the fact that it's not noisy and there's not all these petrol fumes around the place. It just makes it really, really, really very cool. You
I
have a
mean,
plant-based food down there and everything, don't you? They're brilliant.
it's a really, I mean, I genuinely think, and this is down to my team's touch rather than mine, it's become a real family
Yeah,
event as
I
well.
agree.
It's a great place to come for the weekend, and without wishing to be sexist, you can deposit the children at the kids' home for a bit, and mum can go and test drive an electric car
Yeah.
while dad goes and watches a zero carbon kitchen demo. There's all sorts of things that you can do, but we have live stage sessions which take you through everything from
Yeah.
how to get your first electric car to what minerals and materials are in the batteries, what home energy advice things. And they're really fun sessions because they're hosted by people like Robert Llewellyn and our other
Yeah.
youth presenters who are funny people anyway,
Yeah.
entertaining and educational. So genuinely, I'm very, very proud of what we've built, and we are continuing to make it better all the time. So yeah, I would say it's a great family day out, and obviously we've got a show at Easter and then a show up in Harrogate in I think it's the third weekend of May
Yeah.
as well. So yeah, if you can come, please do. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah, well, I absolutely agree with that. It's definitely a must go to. The industry is changing quickly. Our heating technologies in our homes are changing quickly. Get clued up, find out what your incentives are, find out what kits you are, just be prepared because this is going to be a very fast transition to a net zero future. So, Dan, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure. I'm glad that we've been able to reconnect because I know you've been super busy. Thank you for coming on the show. I hope our listeners will get the tickets and get down to see you and come and say hello to you. We're certainly going to be there. I think Katie and I are both going to do a couple of panels again this year if we're invited back again. So, Dan, a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we'll try and get you on again to talk about, further developments in the fully charged arena.
Thank you very much. It's been great to talk to Jarvis.
Likewise. Cheers, Dan. So, thank you very much to everybody that stayed tuned with us. Do get involved in the electrification of your lifestyles. And as always, we're coming to the end of the show. We are going to play out with Save the World by yours truly, featuring Rita Mora, which is to raise money for Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper, Most Affected People and Areas. This is the record. All you need to do is get it onto your Spotify or iTunes or Amazon or wherever you listen to music, get it onto your playlist, play it as often as you can. And every time it's played, it's racking up money that has to be paid to me. And I've donated 100% of my royalties to the Mapper movement for Fridays for Futures. So get playing it and do your little bit. Help as much as you can. Thank you very much. This has been brilliant. I'll see you next Monday.